This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Get $96 in free extras from your domain name from GoDaddy.com. Each domain includes free hosting with a website builder, a free blog, complete email, and much more. Plus, as a MuggleCast listener, enter code MUGGLE when you check out and save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com. Because Tuesday is a very important day for all fans of the show, this is MuggleCast episode 63 for November 12th, 2006. Did you guys know Tuesday, November 14th, is National Pickle Day?
I did not.
Really? Why not? It's like a big national holiday. Yeah. Actually, it's Pickle Appreciation Day.
Sorry, who creates this? Who creates
we don't eat pickles in Georgia.
I don't know. Jamie, I don't know. I tried to look it up and I couldn't find any information on it. Someone emailed in, and then I went on, they gave me a link to a greeting card website. You know, you could send greeting cards for like holidays. And there was one for Pickle Appreciation Day. So we'll provide the link in the show notes, and everyone can go send each other Pickle Appreciation Day e-cards.
Which via email. You'll all want to do, definitely. So
yeah, and please send some to mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com. So I hope everyone is going to be celebrating. I know I am.
Oh, yeah.
And
eating a lot of pickles.
I will be eating various assortment of pickles on that day.
Well, and yeah. Raise your hand if you like pickles.
I'm raising my hand, Ben, over here.
I'm half raising my hand. It's a love-hate thing.
I hate them.
Actually, no, I'm kidding. I really hate the taste of them. They're bad.
Like, when I get a hamburger, I just have it plain.
Yeah, me too. Ketchup only.
Yeah, ketchup. Ketchup only.
Oh, no, I love pickles on my hamburgers.
Yeah, pickles on a cheeseburger, that I only eat pickles.
Ben, are you the kind of person who goes to McDonald's and is like, yeah, please can I have a Big Mac, but please can I not have cheese, but please can I have extra mayonnaise, but please can I have no
No, I
pickles?
Say... can I think I'm going to say, can I get a cheeseburger plain?
Ben,
then I apply my own ketchup later.
It takes them significantly longer, though, Ben. I just pull off the pickles.
Speaking of McDonald's, we have a special new listener challenge later in the show that is going to change the way we all visit McDonald's. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I am Eric Skull.
I'm Laura Thompson.
Subway and just say, yeah, I'll have my usual.
I used to be able to, but like I haven't been to Subway in months.
Really?
Because I told people to stop sending me cards.
I went to Subway in New York City.
I love Subway.
Well, yeah, you travel 3,000 miles to go to Subway.
Speaking of New York City, it's the only segue I can think of. Micah Tannenbaum is in our imaginary MuggleCast News Center with the past week's top Harry Potter news stories.
Earlier this week, we reported that Michael Hoffman was slated to direct the sixth Potter film. WB has now confirmed that this is not true. However, Production Weekly's latest issue contains information concerning Half-Blood Prince, including that David Yates is set to direct the film. While everyone should consider this a rumor for now, we heard that David has been in talks with WB. Emma Thompson, who plays Professor Sybil Trelawney, was interviewed on Jonathan Ross, where she mainly discussed her new film, Stranger Than Fiction, while speaking a little about Harry Potter. A video of this appearance can be seen over at MuggleNet.com, and Emma also did interviews with Newsweek, USA Today, and made an appearance on The Ellen Show. Jason Isaacs, the Lucius Malfoy actor, appeared on the UK chat show this morning where he discussed the Potter films and mentioned that he finished filming his scenes for Order of the Phoenix last week. In a recent interview, Daniel Radcliffe was asked if he would be playing a death in Movie 7, and he suggested that Harry might die in the final book. He was quoted as saying that's the only way J.K. Rowling could ever halt any call for her to keep writing the Potter books, because I mean if Harry survives, she'll just be getting plagued by requests to write an 8th book for the rest of her life. In celebration of their 60th publication anniversary, Time Europe reflected on the heroes that have emerged in the past 6 decades. J.K. Rowling made the list, along with dozens of other inspirational figures. And according to a poll by hotel company Travelodge, Joe has the 5th biggest fan base in the United Kingdom. The Harry Potter author ranks behind Manchester United, pop star Robbie Williams, and the Liverpool Football Club. I hear Andrew is crying you two didn't make the list. But Andrew, don't worry. This is, after all, a poll by a hotel company. As we reported last month, the American Library Association asked teen readers to vote for their favorite book as part of Teen Read Week. The association has announced the winners, and no doubt due to MuggleNetters voting, Half-Blood Prince topped the list. Leslie Phillips, voice of the Sorting Hat, joins the guest lineup for Collector Mania GMEX, scheduled to take place in Manchester, England, between the 18th and 19th of November. Jamie Waylett, who plays Vincent Crabbe, and James and Oliver Phelps, who play the Weasley twins, are also set to attend. Finally, there is no more waiting. The first copies of the book, written entirely by MuggleNet staff, are now being shipped by our partner Ollivans. MuggleNet.com's What Will Happen in Harry Potter 7 can be ordered for just $15.84, shipping included. That's all the news for this November 12th, 2006 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
Alright, thanks, Micah. And anyone who's wondering if that chipmunk voice was real that he did on the show last week, it is legit. Because Eric and I had him do it in New York City when we were
did you really?
Hanging out with him earlier this week. Yeah, and he awesome. Did it. I didn't believe him at first because I thought he might have just have done like a little like effect in Audacity or something. But no, it was legit. Not much news to discuss this week. There were a lot of news stories, but none of them were really like, you know, discussion worthy. Here's something I found interesting. J.K. Rowling ranked number 5 in the top 10, I think it was, UK fan bases. Now,
what a load.
What immediately struck me about this was that wouldn't you think that Joe probably has one of the bigger fan bases? And Jamie, did you see this list? Because I wanted to ask you about
it. No, I didn't. No.
Who's number 1? Lord of the Rings?
No, right. No, these are like
Star Trek?
People.
No. Oh, these are people's fan bases.
The top UK fan bases, number 1 was Manchester United.
What is Manchester United?
That's a team.
Yeah.
Soccer football team. It's a huge
football?
Huge,
what are you talking about?
Team.
They're soccer team.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. Yes, it's a soccer team. It is massive. It is absolutely massive.
Number 2, Robbie Williams, who's a pop star?
Yeah, he is. I don't know if I'd call what he has as a massive fan base.
Isn't
I mean,
that the guy who plays Hagrid?
No, that's Robbie Coltrane, Ben.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, this guy does that. Have a great deal of fans. I mean, all of his concerts are sold out, you know, very, very, very early on. But I don't know. Who came
How
third?
How about Liverpool FC?
Soccer club again.
Liverpool
Beatles.
Football Club.
Soccer club again. They're, yeah, they all have huge... The football clubs do have huge fan bases.
Now, what about something called Arsenal? What's that?
One more football club. Sorry, a soccer club.
Oh my god, these crazy sports fans. You can't even compare them.
Football's massive. It's massive.
Soccer in the US is not very big at all.
No, I know it's not.
No, we hate it over here.
We don't hate it. Some people
hate it. No, I hate
it.
It's too much running. I can't do it.
And then there's J.K. Rowling. And number 6 really disappointed me. U2. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't even understand why they're comparing that to kids
to soccer clubs.
To people who actually read, you know, and you know, don't just drink and watch sports channel, you know.
Well, I think that's a bit of a stereotype to make, you know. You can't say that.
Oh, yes it is. Yes it is. And forgive me for making the stereotype if it's possible.
Never.
But I'm saying sports fans are quite a bit different from these kinds of fans, and I don't know, you know, it's not exactly like we don't like the same exact things. You know, I think it's like they should have done a list of something different. I don't know.
This poll was conducted by a hotel. What's the over in England?
Oh, well they're experts. So yeah.
A hotel.
Yeah, I mean, I know. Well, it made the BBC, so. it's somewhat newsworthy. I got another question for everyone. Who's going to see Happy Feet this Friday?
I'm
going to
see Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Okay, but my question is, who's going to see Happy Feet?
I don't care. I'm going to see
back to the original question.
Well, what's that movie going to be about? It sounds dumb.
It's about penguins dancing on ice glaciers.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be my number one stop this weekend. I'm telling you that now.
No, no, okay, but you know why I'm asking this.
Yes, I know.
I'll catch the trailer, Andrew.
Attached to the front of this. Eric, you work at Happy Feet, or you work at the movie theater.
He works at Happy Feet.
He works on a glacier.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Ben?
How long do you think it is until we have a version online that someone sends in?
I'm going to guess 2 minutes after Happy Feet released.
Okay, I'm going to go to the movie theater. I'm going to buy a ticket to a movie I actually want to see. Then I'm going to go into the previews of Happy Feet. And then
switch, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I could have stop you. I could kick you out, Ben.
Oh, could you? Because I'm going to go to Philadelphia's theater.
No, if you came to Reading, Pennsylvania. If you came to my theater.
And the trailer has been seen by a few people, and there's been some descriptions online, and from what we can gather, they are pretty accurate. And have you guys read these?
No. I read one.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Starts with Sirius.
Don't tell me. Spoiler policy. Spoiler.
Yeah, you shouldn't say it, to be honest.
All right. I won't. Never mind. Starts with Sirius Black talking. That's all I'll say. Yeah. And so I guess I'll be going to. I don't know. It doesn't seem worth it. Since
is it worth
the
drive?
It's gonna
be
online.
No.
Yeah.
But
you know,
we
gas
don't
these days.
But we don't condone watching it online if it's been leaked, do we, Andrew?
Yeah.
Well, no. I do, because it's on YouTube, it's not
allegedly,
on
allegedly.
Allegedly, it's on YouTube, yeah.
But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it shows up on, like, Apple, officially. Maybe the same day.
Yeah,
it just
do.
Seems...
It's easier it seems to put it out online WB, instead of, like, you know, risking piracy. If they actually put it online, then they've beaten the pirates.
Right.
Do you call people who pirate stuff pirates?
Yeah.
Internet pirates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound right.
Arr.
I can't imagine...
Well, neither does pirate.
Pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
What is the etymology of pirate? I mean, it's just...
pirate.
It's from the Latin peer, meaning steal, and rate, meaning videos. Actually, I have no idea.
Rate.
Folks, we haven't been kidding. MuggleCast t-shirts will no longer be sold after... beginning January 1st, 2007.
They're going out of style.
So, not... Oh, no. They'll always be in style. But the shirts, we'll have to take them off the website January 1st. So, if you are thinking about buying a shirt, we urge you to purchase one now, because they are going to be selling out fast. And we hope to sell out our entire inventory. Of course, they help to support the show. And so, thank you very much.
You know what we need? We need hoodies, and then we need to say, you know, keep yourself warm. This will be the last winter you'll have an opportunity to keep yourself warm, or something.
And of course, you all need to buy one for your National MuggleCast Day coming this May?
You mean MuggleCast t-shirt?
June. I always forget. And then, also, don't forget to vote for us on Podcast Alley. We really need everyone's votes over there, because we want to beat a little podcast called Keith and the Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And who's the girl?
They're these two big dorks who
I don't think we can call anybody dorks.
Well, yeah, it's a bit like us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we are.
No, we're not dorks.
We podcast about nothing.
We're cool.
Hey, also, now's the time to order MuggleNet.com's What Will Happen in Harry Potter 7, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Falls in Love, and How the Adventure Finally Ends by Ben Shane, Emerson Spartz, Jamie Lawrence, Andy Gordon,
That's
and
me.
Gretchen Soul. So
and
go
Gordon
pick it up.
Is my pen name?
Shut so, up. It's not. The 10th time, it's not.
If you would like me to sign it, just please send your copies to the P.O. Box.
Yes, remember, this is going to be in your retail stores very soon. It's going to be in your local Barnes & Nobles and Borders. However, if you want to pre-order it online, you can visit MuggleNet. There's a link on the right side of the page. Yeah. Go ahead and pre-order.
If you guys had pen names...
Well, I would have Andy Gordon, because that is my
really
pen name.
Would you have, Andrew? If you didn't... Okay, if you weren't Andy Gordon...
Bono.
Yeah.
I would be Bono.
Hey, hasn't someone used that before? I can't remember who. I'm sure I've heard
that. Paul.
Ben, what would you be?
Bono. Paul Hewson.
Yeah.
And let me ask you something. If I go to my bookstore, do I have to say to these people, I want MuggleNet.com's what happened in Harry Potter 7, who lives, who dies, who falls in love, and how will the adventure finally
end? Yes, you said the full title.
Can I just say what will happen in Harry
you
Potter
7? You can say what will happen in Harry Potter 7. If you get one
word wrong, then they tell you
they don't have it.
Yeah, you have to get it precisely right, with exactly the right pitch, intonation, and tone in your voice. And if you get it wrong...
It sounds like a sellout book.
Well, I should hope so.
I should hope so, too.
The MuggleCast Variety Hour!
Oh, yeah. And, little announcement here. The week of New Year's, it should be, like, New Year's Eve, I think? I don't know, and I'd have to consult a calendar. But that last week of the year... We will be having a special MuggleCast variety show that is going to be made up of segments and musical stuff made entirely by the audience. And everyone might remember that we had a segment contest where listeners would create their own MuggleCast segments, and we used about 5 of them. We ran them for 5 weeks. But we didn't. We have like 20 to 30 more that we never used, so we're going to use a few of those. And we've been getting a lot of different submissions lately, like little songs, like little MuggleCast remixes of discussions we've had. So I'm going to save all of them for this variety show. So what we're asking here is for everyone to send in any remixes or segments that you've ever had an idea for MuggleCast, and we will try to include them on that variety show. Coming later this year, and it should be a fun show. And the reason we're going to be doing that is because we won't be around. Send your entries to mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com. Maybe we'll give away t-shirts too to everyone who has their segment aired. I don't know.
Well, hopefully we won't have any extras left.
Because you've all been buying your MuggleCast t-shirts.
Yes. Yes. True that. Oh, and one final reminder on mugglecast.com, the all new mugglecast.com.
Well, it's been new for about 2 months, so.
It's still new to me. It's not 2 months. It's been like a month. Yeah. We have weekly roundups now to cover some of your listener rebuttals that we do not air on the show. And we'll post them on the website. So we encourage everyone to check the website about midweek. They were released by one of the co-hosts who were on the past week's show. This week we are going to have a discussion about the Forbidden Forest. It's one aspect of Hogwarts that we really haven't talked about much.
Maybe at all.
Maybe at all. I don't think we've talked about it much at all.
Not too much, seriously. Like, maybe 2-3 episodes we might have mentioned it.
No, but there are a few questions about it that we wanted to discuss today.
I have one before the first one.
Oh, okay.
If that's okay.
Go for it.
Do you guys know that sometimes Dumbledore refers to the Forbidden Forest as the Dark Forest? Or several other characters. Like,
I thought that was just a movie-ism.
It's in addition to a movie-ism, I think it appears once or twice in the books, actually.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. It's not just, you know...
Well, do you have evidence to back this up, or...?
I don't, but I'm just saying, is it likely that the forest is... The actual name is Forbidden Forest, or is it Dark Forest, or... You know, there seems to be some kind of confusion there.
I think it is the Forbidden Forest, but... Because that's probably the way it was originally described in the books,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
It's like the first reference to it was Dark Forest, and then...
Yep.
Although, well, I don't know, you make a good point, because why would they call it the Forbidden Forest, just because...
If it's only forbidden to students on one side of it, on one side of one of the edges of
because...
it.
That could be the name just for Hogwarts students.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's not necessarily true. It's forbidden because it's dangerous.
Yes.
And there are things in it that are forbidden, like illegal creatures, like Aragog and his children.
Well, centaurs wouldn't be too appreciative to know that they're in a...
Illegal, yeah.
In a forest. Mm.
Well, actually, that's not true, though, because they would consider their domain forbidden to...
Yeah, that's true.
...outside people.
Well, in movie one, Dumbledore, you know, Richard Harris says, you know, please note that the Dark Forest is forbidden. And you know, you're right, that could be movie-ism. But I was sure then around book 5 or book 6... Maybe even book 4, when they were doing the tasks kind of near there, I was under the impression that they used Dark Forest once or twice more, so I thought I'd ask.
Well, I mean, I could be wrong, but I really don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think they either just refer to it as the Forest or the Forbidden Forest. The chapter in the book is called the Forbidden Forest.
Yeah.
They use the word dark a lot in the movies, too. Like, if you'll notice, the tower where Sirius was the Dark Tower in the Prisoner of Azkaban movie.
Dark Tower?
What are they trying to do? Just set a dark tone to it, make it sound even more eerie.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like one of those places that is lacking a major adventure. They've always gone in there to, you know, in book 5, check up on You don't think so?
The first year, Harry goes in there with, you know, and almost gets killed by this Voldemort slither thingy, and then centaurs have to save him, but they get mad at each other. Second year, a giant spider sends all of his 1,000 younglings all over it, all over after Harry and Ron, and the Ford Anglia has been living there for 4 or 5 years.
No.
Third year, at the edge of it, the Whomping Willow nearly kills everybody. And everybody subpasses it. Fourth year, there's dragons being trained. What do you mean lacking in big adventure? The fourth year, there were dragons being hidden there. The fifth year...
How'd you hide a dragon? Just going to that quickly, it must be hard to hide a dragon. The forest must be extremely dense and sort of dark and, you know, well...
Yeah, exactly. So it's very easy to hide a dragon.
Well, no, I don't think it's easy. I don't think it's ever easy to hide a dragon. But
it's the baby dragon.
The fact that it could be well, that could be it, or it could be mute, so it can't, you know, speak or breathe fire, so it's easier.
Hagrid held a Grop in there pretty easily.
Well, last time I checked, Grop wasn't a dragon.
Nobody, no, I know that, but he was making a big scene in the forest, and no one really ever noticed.
It was far enough off. See, that's why I don't want to see a big adventure in the forest. It's always like, you know, Joe writes in this long long section of paragraphs where they're walking into the woods and you know, the scenery's changing. Then there's always a clearing, you know, so far in that gets silent. Like, I'm not saying it's boring to read about it because it's not, but we've had several adventures in the Forbidden Forest. I don't think it needs any bit more exposure than it's already had.
But it needs to be explained.
It's supposed to remain mysterious.
No, but it needs to be explained because we don't know anything actually about it apart from it's been used as like a plot point, but it's been used as a secondary plot point. There's never been a storyline involving the Forbidden Forest. Things have taken place in there and things have happened in there and revolving around it, but they need to talk about who created it, who can go in there safely. I wonder if Dumbledore can go in there safely. Obviously, he can protect himself, but will the centaurs welcome him with open arms? You know.
Well, he's dead now, so I don't think that's
the
question.
Yeah, he probably couldn't go walking in, could he?
The centaurs attended his funeral, so I would say they respect him enough, at least as a headmaster.
Perhaps, yeah.
To maybe let... Well, he had to go in there and rescue Umbridge from the centaurs. So not only did he have to be on good terms with the centaurs, maybe speaking, but he had to convince them to let them...
I think they were upset with him because he took friends from them.
Well, yeah,
No, I don't think they were. I don't think he took friends. Friends kind of.
Yeah, I think they're more upset.
Well, I mean, but Dumbledore asked him to go, so.
Yeah.
Dumbledore doesn't really. I guess. Well, I don't know.
No, it makes sense.
You could say that.
Because he did take him in.
That shows that Dumbledore doesn't really have any respect for the rest of them if he's asking friends to go. Unless he just didn't know. The fellow centaurs would be upset by that.
I agree. I think that's a good point, actually.
What about Hagrid? Do you think he is the only one who really goes in there?
Probably.
I know Fred and George have.
No, yeah, he
taken multiple trips in there, which we'll talk about in a minute.
I think he does, but it's like he seems to be at home in that type of environment. You know, I think he can handle himself very well, even
because
even,
it seems to be a place of outcasts too, sort of. You know, like
yeah,
like Aragog, they tell him he can't be. You know,
yeah,
you can't but live.
That's a good point.
That makes any sense.
You can't live in a cupboard, so.
But who else might go in there to possibly use the Forbidden Forest to maybe hide something of their own? Could there really be anyone else who has the courage?
How big is it? Is it a huge forest or is it just a small one?
That's always the impression I've gotten.
What
that
huge?
It was
huge. Yeah.
It was very vast. Yeah,
there must be other things in there. It's like, you know, we can't expect. To be the only people alive in this universe, we shouldn't expect that, you know, spiders and centaurs
Speaking
are the only
that,
people who live in the forest. What? And unicorns.
I had a nightmare last night.
Yeah.
So I went to Vegas to help my dad with something, and the sixth war had begun, and these people from outside of our world started bombing Vegas.
No,
with these
really
giant
happened.
Laser things. I'm not.
That really
I'm
happened.
This up.
Really happened.
Somebody write this kid a book.
It was very scary. And I woke up almost crying.
Aww. Then you realized you were safe in your bed.
But anyway, so that was my dream. So I think that does mean that there are other creatures in outside space. But back to the Forbidden Forest. Yes, like Jamie said, it is very vast. Could anyone else be possibly using it?
Yeah. basically.
Of course, they could, but I don't know. I don't know if we have anything in the books that would lead us to believe that.
As far as Hogwarts goes, like, certain teachers may go in there to get some...
Well, what about Snape?
Material. Oh, maybe.
Eric, what do you think about Snape?
When he has to go refill his potion ingredients, I don't... Maybe some of that would only be collectible in the forest.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And Snape's gone in there before, you know, to visit Quirrell, actually, or to scare Quirrell off, or whatever. You know, Snape seemed to know a place in the forest.
But Eric, there's a difference between going in and going in, if that makes sense. You can go onto the outskirts, but you know,
yes,
and talk. But
I understand that. But at least, you know, Snape was comfortable enough with what was inside, or you know, he didn't fear what was inside the forest enough to go on the outskirts and not fear either being overheard or. You know, he just wanted to take Quirrell in a secluded place, but, you know, it was in the forest. So I could see Snape going in the forest to get potion ingredients and things. And for that, I would imagine you'd need to go in pretty far if you needed, like, wormwood or something.
Unicorn stuff.
Unicorn something.
So what about friend George? Because as I said earlier,
Honestly, I'm sorry to cut you off. Where don't Fred and George go?
Well, that's a good point. But why do you think they're going in there, Eric?
Why do you think? Didn't you say
ingredients for their skiving snack boxes?
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing I could think of. They're going in there to collect stuff for their business. Mm.
Well, they must know where to collect it.
Well, I doubt they go in there anymore.
Well, they left the school.
But it seems like the kind of place they'd be intrigued by. I doubt they haven't been in. You know, I mean, I doubt they. And Hagrid say in book one that he spent half his life chasing the Weasley brothers out of there?
That's very clever. That's true. And it's something with the name. It's named Forbidden,
which means they want to do it. Yeah.
How can they not go in it?
What about the possibility of there being a Horcrux in there? Does anyone think there's any truth to that?
No.
Since Voldemort has made trips into there,
it's too much of an open place. It's like.
Blood.
Everyone can go in there. Yeah. I mean, even though he could protect it, you know, there could just be things walking past. Whereas the cave, you aren't going to go in there and find a queue of people, you know, waiting to get in. It's like, it is a secluded place.
Right. You can't even get down those rocks, according to Dumbledore, without magic.
Well, but...
Anymore you can't really.
Since the forest is such a big place, don't you think it would be easy to hide a Horcrux? I mean, nobody would ever find that.
Well, yeah, but it's still open to all the elements, not to mention the numerous creatures walking around in there.
I wonder why Voldemort, when he was in his, you know, little spectral form, didn't try and go attach himself to one of his Horcruxes or the soul inside his Horcrux or something along those lines.
I don't think you can you?
And it's just...
Well, yeah.
Well, but, no, he was. No, that little spectral form was the Horcrux.
Was a part of his, you know, yeah, was a Horcrux, right.
Eric, it's just your soul, though. Even if he got all of his Horcruxes when he was in a spectral form together and put them together with his current soul, he would still only be a soul.
He didn't have a body.
He can't store his body in a cupboard.
He would still only be a soul, but slightly more of one. He would be slightly more powerful. He would slightly be...
No, that's untrue. As Dumbledore says, his magical ability and power is still intact, even without a soul. I'd say that a soul has more metaphysical, moral, ethical, you know, properties. And it teaches you, you know, I don't know, right and wrong, stuff like that. It's a violation of nature to get rid of it, but you can still be magically powerful without it, which is why when Harry comes to fight Voldemort, he will still need, you know, absolute mastery of magic to defeat him.
Right,
in fact,
right,
even
right.
more really, because Voldemort's, you know, completely malicious in his goals. You know, he doesn't care about any type of morals at all, whereas Harry, since he has a soul, does. So, you know.
What about come book 7? Who could be left in the forest to help Harry? Do you think the centaurs could?
I don't think it's likely that.
Well, why not? Yeah. Why not though, Eric? Because they've really stressed that magical unity is one of the only ways they're going to be able to defeat Voldemort.
Yeah, but who listens
right,
to that?
Right, but I just don't see. I just don't foresee them. Like, I don't understand why we have to have everything involved. You know, like, what's Dobby's role going to be? What's
No, but. Not every magical creature or every magical person is going to unite in the war against Voldemort, but I think some will.
Right, but is it what it comes down to with centaurs joining humans? is you know, whether or not, according to the centaurs, humans are very ignorant. They think they're animals. The sky's the limit with the complaints that they have. It's just a matter, you know, the centaurs have read the stars, and they're very content. We've seen them. They're very content in knowing that there's going to be not just another war, but that humans are going to die. I don't even think they concern themselves with this war unless something really big happens. Or you can believe that they will say, okay, you know, we are the insightful people. The humans need us. Let's go help. But I don't personally see that as likely, and I think that the only thing that's going to help Harry in the Forbidden Forest is probably Mr. Weasley's car, because J.K. Rowling said it would.
Well, she didn't say it would help. Speaking she of said which. It would make an appearance.
And if it's not to help, that's certainly not
well,
to
that
break
doesn't,
down.
Well, that doesn't mean that eyes. It couldn't be like comic relief or something.
Yeah, it probably will end up being something like that. Harry was walking along the Hogwarts grounds.
And Ford Anglia waved hello and then he went back into the forest.
Yeah.
Beeped and hello. Disappeared. Disappeared at the end.
And said, go buy the movie Cars, out now on DVD.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, I think like with any other group of creatures or people, you're going to have the few that want to help and the few that don't. And that's what I think it is.
But how? What
well, if
they
can
really
see into
provide?
The future.
Well, they can't, though.
They
don't
want to
tell anybody, though.
Friends is the
only
one
who
that we've
even
seen.
Then,
and he, look what happened to him.
Even then, Friends admits defeat. He says centaurs have read stars wrong.
Well, yeah,
you.
But it doesn't mean that they couldn't at least be somewhat beneficial.
That's you could true. Help a little bit. It That's wasn't it true. Them who predicted that a second war was going
to
begin?
Well, it was them that predicted that Harry was supposed to die in the forest.
That Mars was bright tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, Harry was supposed to die that night in the forest. And they were all like, hello, Harry Potter. That way to Voldemort.
Yeah.
Just keep going.
Yeah. Why do you think... Now, this might just be a stupid question, but why do you think the forest became forbidden in the first place? Do you think it was because of Aragog that
no.
it became
no,
forbidden?
Not just because. I'm not sure it's no one reason. It's a forest and there's all sorts of creatures. Well, most of all, I think the most reason is that kids would be unsupervised. It's so close to the school grounds and there's nobody really to keep watch over them there. They can't even get a defense against the dark arts. Well, I'm not saying it's that difficult to get people to watch kids, but it's a long, dark forest. There's animals that clearly do not want human beings, not only in their homes, but even, you know, to exist or to interfere with things. Kids are ignorant. They'd be stomping around, shooting
spells.
Why do
you
spells.
Think they built the school
do
so close to the forest?
You think it predated Hogwarts?
Oh, yeah, I think the forest.
Well, perhaps it didn't predate it.
I think the forest must
Maybe
have. I mean,
it was
a
nice
it's forest.
It's a forest.
Though. I mean,
yeah, but,
it's old.
But perhaps it was a really...
No, they planted the forest.
Yeah, every like, single tree. It took them a thousand years.
Johnny Appleseed was a Ravenclaw.
But perhaps it's a case of...
or Hufflepuff.
Do you think it's a case of sort of keeping your friends close but your enemies closer, whereas, you know, they have the spiders there. It can't only be Hagrid who knows that the spiders are in
well,
there.
Well, the spiders
know,
are only
it.
There because of Hagrid, though, aren't they?
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
No, I know, but there's other... You know, there are werewolves... In there, obviously, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Apparently,
no, there are. Well, yeah, I mean, according to Hagrid, there are. But and there are unicorns. There's everything. It's the Thestrals as well. Hagrid also needs a place to keep all of his care of magical creatures.
But Eric, do you think that this forest? There was any one point where maybe the forest was safe, and then maybe Aragog started living in there, and then other creatures began living in there because it was forbidden. So it was sort of like a...
Because Aragog invited
no,
them?
No, because it was just...
Yeah.
Because it was a band.
Dangerous creatures, lend me your...
No, I think...
Whatever
I think
you
it
have.
Was always dangerous. I mean...
It's always dangerous. It's just a... I don't want to say occupational hazard, but if you're a student going to Hogwarts and there's a giant forest, there's a risk of danger. I think it was... Eventually, probably enough students died in there, or enough students got injured, or were coming back, you know, with scary stories that the headmaster at that time of Hogwarts said.
With no legs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and eventually at one point the headmaster would have had to say, okay, we're going to forbid this. I hope it wasn't Dumbledore. I hope it was headmasters eons before Dumbledore, because...
Do you think, I mean...
You know, because Dumbledore can't be the only one
Do you think
one,
there was any
says.
Specific reason they built the school so close to... A forest that's obviously dangerous, or
well, I don't think it was. I don't know. I mean, maybe the forest holds some educational value for the
students.
I
think so.
Oh yeah,
Ben, that was very clever.
It sort of does, but they don't really take much advantage of it if there is education. Yeah.
Well, you don't know that. Just because J.K. Rowling doesn't include
it's pretty
doesn't
important.
Mean
that's
that
true.
Well,
I mean, well, things with care of magical creatures wouldn't really be possible for you to ship all your creatures, you know, however far distance, just to study them. I mean, that's one thing that it does benefit. And I guess plant life would definitely be the other one if you were to ask if Snape or if Sprout were to go into the forest to get things. It definitely does add a lot of the other things that you would need to teach a school, just not the direct things, not like students can go in there. That's like saying, why is there a giant squid in the lake? You know why would you put it on the lake next to a giant squid? It's there for educational value, and that squid, I guess, is friendly. So,
well, yeah, we do know that. So, I mean, Hagrid has ended up hiding a lot of things in there. Aragog, Grop, the Thestrals. Well, did
no,
the Hagrid
Thestrals weren't hidden.
Yeah, I think it's there? Because
they're natural.
No, the Thestrals.
I was going to say a natural plantation.
Right.
Their natural habitat.
Yeah, it's a natural.
Hogwarts just.
It's natural.
Hogwarts just borrows a few to pull the carriages.
Do you think Hagrid could use the forest for anything else, like the motorcycle?
I don't think Hagrid doesn't have Sirius's motorcycle. Sirius has Sirius's motorcycle.
How do we know?
Because he went to return it to Sirius Black.
Why? Did he drop it through the veil too?
he drove through the veil and jumped off just before going through.
Evil Knievel.
Exactly my thoughts, Jamie. Exactly my thoughts.
I don't really think we'd have more than one motorized vehicle in the forest.
Why? Is there a rule against it?
Seriously, why would the
well, it would just...
I don't know.
It's just but
Laura, the Ford Anglia must get lonely, so it needs a sort of motorized companion to...
It needs a love partner.
Exactly.
To wrap things up, Aragog's kids, what do you think they're doing these days? I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter. They probably are just making a mess
in
the forest.
They are.
They have no guidance, no nothing. Unless they've died.
I don't think
Hagrid had to...
He had a lot of kids.
Yeah, but Hagrid had to pull... I suppose they're eating each other, aren't they? Because he had to pull Aragog out so that they wouldn't eat him.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Why don't they just rebel, go up to the school...
Knock on the doors.
They could probably take it by storm.
Knock on the doors, drink some soup.
Up until now, Dumbledore probably would have kept him out.
If spiders ate soup, what soup would they eat?
Oh, I'd say chicken.
No way. It would be like
no
Scottish
way.
Vegetable and leek or something like that. It would be a
I was going to say
no,
alphabet
no,
soup.
No, I completely disagree.
Oh,
dude, I could so go legs. For some SpaghettiOs and meatballs
Spaghetti-o,
right now.
SpaghettiOs. If anyone out there has a disagreement about the discussion we just had on the Forbidden Forest, you can always email mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com or use the handy feedback form to submit a listener rebuttal that will either be posted on the site, be read on the show, or we'll just read it and we'll
delete it.
With it. Yeah. Speaking of rebuttals, we got one concerning last week's episode. That's why I wanted to bring up Allegedly. Did you guys realize there was not one complaint about the show last week?
Because
usually we get complaints about the show, and I think
allegedly.
It's because
Andrew,
you guys
you went
said
on it,
allegedly.
You? After. Andrew, you went on it. I don't
well,
think.
Yeah, the,
well,
yeah,
okay,
me and
well,
Andrew weren't
yeah,
there.
So.
Well, no, I
a lot of the problems.
Oh yeah, we need to fix all of the problems in this. Then
I think it might have to do with the fact that you guys said allegedly so much. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the show was just perfect last week.
Well, I say the host last week was pretty darn good.
Yeah,
you know, I felt so important when I heard Micah read my statement that I asked to read. I felt really important,
like you're the president or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna have him read more statements for me. When I don't want to comment on some controversial topic.
Your spokesman. Your spokesperson.
Yeah, exactly.
A spokesman for Andrew Sims refused to comment.
Sims, yeah. We have a rebuttal now concerning last week's show, as I brought up already. This is from Brittany. She writes, "When you were talking about Luna dropping off the radar after Book 5, I immediately thought of the fact that Fleur had also dropped off the radar after Book 4 and then came back fairly strong in Book 6. I just highly doubt that J.K. would not tell the outcome of such a mysterious character."
Yeah, I agree.
Well, so, I think, yeah, of course we're going to know the outcome, but I don't know how much of a role she'll actually play in the book. You know, we may hear, like, Luna died or something like that, but I don't think it will be, like, you know, well, I just don't think she'll play that much of a role. We'll see.
Guys,
we'll see.
Do you remember what Victor Crumb is doing? Because I think they mentioned, didn't they mention him as well in book six? Like, just Hermione said, like, she's writing to him or something. Yeah. So that's cool. I was just wondering. But yeah, she didn't even have to really bring Fleur back. But I guess it's just a case of, you know, she shelves some characters.
Offers some
and
closure.
Then pulls them back out. So
yeah. What do you think is going to happen if some aspects of the book don't get any closure? Like a certain character. Is there just going to be fan fiction out the wazoo about?
Well, yeah, the...
And people are going to complain anyway. Like they did after book six.
They'll be
Martin makes the mad muggle.
yeah, what if he doesn't get closure? How does that series end?
Speaking of news, Dan brought up a good point this week, Dan Radcliffe. He said that the only way Jo's going to get people to stop bugging her to write an eighth book is that if she kills off Harry.
Oh, people will be bugging her to write some sort of eighth book anyway.
No, they'll be writing her to write anything anyway.
She's not going
to
write it.
Right, Jamie?
No,
people
she's
stop
not,
bugging
but...
her to write an eighth book if she writes one.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if she doesn't... If she doesn't specifically add closure to something, I think it'll be a case where the whole world is over, so she doesn't need to, or something like that, like where the gist of most of what we'd be concerned about would be covered. And didn't she say she might? She's seriously considering just writing like an appendices, like
she did,
like extra, she did. Extra stuff, you know. And I would be satisfied with that.
But the thing is, there are different types of closure. There's like closure for each character, or there's a they lived happily ever after, which solves it. Everyone's fate, really, you know, instead of...
That's true, too. But they shouldn't end happily ever after because Disney does not own the rights.
Yeah, it's very true, yeah.
We are going to bring back a segment that we have not done in a long while.
A long while.
It's been a long time coming. You did invent this?
Mm-hmm.
The Dueling Club.
Oh, wow.
Ben, then I think it's only right that you...
Read it out, then, Ben.
Read it
I'll
out.
Read it. Let me hit an F10 here. Snape versus Hermione. Ryan, 20, from Pennsylvania, writes, I don't know if you guys are doing this anymore, but interesting one. It's not much of a duel technically, but here you go. Snape's intelligence versus Hermione's intelligence. A battle of the smarts.
See, I think Snape is a very, 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 very clever guy. I know he really is, though. His, you know, magical ability, first of all, but also he knows, you know, being a potions master, I don't think it's easy to brew potions. And also, he's he knows occlumency, geomancy, he knows all these things. I mean, if you're talking now, then easily Snape would win. In terms of if they actually dueled...
Intelligence.
Well,
yeah.
Well, no, if they actually dueled, Snape...
I don't know. I think it'd be a case where Hermione, like, making fun of Snape. He got outsmarted by a little girl.
Ben, do you honestly think that if they had a magical duel, Hermione would win. She wouldn't have a chance against Snape.
No, we're talking about an election.
No, maybe we're talking
The what problem if they play is chess that we're talking about intelligence. Yeah, right. Exactly.
No,
it's,
how is, know, maybe,
how are we supposed to compare
them? You don't
know
what it's
them?
Applied.
Maybe there's
well, they both take an SAT.
A battle of wits. No, a battle of wits.
The higher SAT score.
No, if it's wits, I still think Snape would win.
Yeah,
Jamie illustrates a brilliant point. It, you know, intelligence. Hermione's intelligence goes a lot with book smarts. You know, reciting something. If you would ask her what, you know, chapter 17 or what a certain author's opinion on something was, she would tell you. But intelligence otherwise, as in cleverness, wit... mind, reading, occlumency, all that other stuff that actually applies. Like, even a game of chess is not book smarts, and therefore I think, you know, Snape would have the upper hand.
He's just because he's older. It's because he's older. That's the only reason.
Well, yeah, true. And in Half-Blood Prince, the book, I mean, the stuff in there.
No,
the
movie. Yeah, I was going to say that.
No, I mean his...
No,
his book. Poem. His book in Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, okay. Right. The potions book.
Yes, the potions book. That was, you know...
Anybody know the exact title?
Advanced Potions Making.
Yeah, oh, very good.
Yeah, I agree. It really, it showed that Snape was a lot more innovative because Hermione tended to follow directions and Snape would find his own way.
Right. And, I mean, did Hermione screw up a potion in book 5?
Yeah, she did. No,
did
she screwed it up.
I think everybody screwed up potions except for Harry.
It was in book 6.
Yeah, it was in book 6.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right, well, yeah. So, and in a duel, too, you guys think, I guess he would.
Yeah, I think the age thing. Like, by the time Hermione is that, it's the age, like, 30s or whatever how old Snape is.
Guys, do you have any idea how much Snape has survived? Snape has battled Voldemort.
I mean, every single time he's been in Voldemort's presence, that's kind of like battling Voldemort if you assume that he's good.
I do not think...
pretty easy. I mean, if you think about it, Joe said that Harry would defeat Hermione in a duel. So if I think Harry could defeat Hermione, Snape certainly could.
And Snape Harry could not beat Snape in a million years now, as demonstrated at the end of Half-Blood Prince, when he was blocking his spells with, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
He couldn't even say the spells. That was awesome, though. I really, really loved
awesome
that.
Awesome scene. Awesome.
It showed how...
Blocked again and again until you learn to keep your mind shut and your mouth shut or something like that.
Even then he's teaching him. Even then he's teaching him. God.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ryan, for singing Gentle and Club. And if... and if anyone has any other Dueling Club matchups that you would like to submit to us, just send them to mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com. It could be creative ones like this one, Snape versus Hermione in a battle of wits, or it could just be a traditional duel. Now, before I read this, I just want to make a quick disclaimer. My fellow co-hosts are going to complain to me that I included this rebuttal just because it involves me. I do want to say... that before I chose this rebuttal
from
before
New Jersey
I even read
as well,
the part that included me. No, no, it didn't.
You so did.
I chose this rebuttal before I realized it included me. I'm sorry, okay? If it said Eric Skull, I would have included it too. Anyway, Stephanie 19 of Washington writes, "Hey, Mugglecasters, I just voted yesterday in the midterm elections and found myself quite unsure of who to give my vote to in more than a few races. There were positions that I had absolutely no clue about, so I did the logical thing. I filled in the write-in candidate box with Harry Potter characters. Included among them were Harry, James and Lily Potter, Ron Weasley, Dumbledore. In the last box I had available, a thought occurred to me. Hey, Stephanie, how could you make this a situation through which your name might be read on MuggleCast?" Well, she got that far right. That's right. I voted for Andrew Sims for county treasurer. I hope you win, buddy. Those other guys don't stand a chance.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Why is this a listener rebuttal? Okay.
It's not.
Yeah, it's
not
a rebuttal. It's just an excuse for you to read it.
No, it's not a rebuttal. It's just because there weren't many rebuttals this week, so... And I just thought it raised the question, why didn't we campaign to get people to vote for us or Harry Potter characters?
I didn't think about it.
It would have been fun. As I promised in the beginning of the show, I have a listener challenge for everyone. And I don't know, maybe you guys have already heard about this already. I don't know if you checked your calendars or, something like that. This month, November, is actually a National Mugglecast at McDonald's Month. You guys hear about this?
What is it?
No.
National Mugglecast at McDonald's
say
Month.
I have yet.
You didn't know? It's been posted at McDonald's.
Okay, what happened
the
to the fight against childhood obesity?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, we do that too, Laura, because you listen to the show on your iPod when you're going for a jog, so you're getting exercise. There you go.
Yeah, now you can listen to it when you're picking up your McDonald's after your job.
Or
your Big Mac,
yes.
Exactly.
And in honor of National Mugglecast at McDonald's Month, we have a little contest for everyone here. Don't ask me what the prize is yet. Maybe a gift certificate to McDonald's or something.
Maybe a t-shirt.
But here's what you do. There's two ways to go about this. First step, visit your local McDonald's. Now, here's where it gets tricky. You can either go in-store and purchase a delicious McDonald's meal. Then, after you purchase your meal, visit the refreshments area and post a sign on the vending machine with a small promotional ad for MuggleCast. Take a picture of the sign on the soda fountain machine and enjoy your meal. Now, for bonus points, have a McDonald's employee standing next to the sign in the picture. And for extra bonus points, this is going to be a little tricky. I don't think many people are going to be able to pull this off. Have Ronald McDonald standing next to the picture, standing next to the sign.
And for extra bonus points, bonus points, have Elvis standing next to you when you take the photo.
And for extra bonus points, have Jamie standing in the picture.
Yeah.
But
or,
I'm
or
alive.
Just put him on the...
Now, a harder.
So yeah, that's true. There's a second way you could go about doing this. You could go through the McDonald's drive-thru and order a delicious McDonald's meal. But post a sign on the ordering kiosk, the thing that you talk into that displays your order and stuff. Post a sign on that with a small promotional ad for MuggleCast. Take a picture and pull up to the first window to pick up your meal. Now, for bonus points, you can do this one, but make the ad look like it's a meal order. So, for example, you could do maybe a number 9 MuggleCast with extra funny and hold the boring price free. something like that. So we're looking forward to seeing what you guys can do.
Andrew, I'm getting kind of worried about your listener challenges. They're getting more and more sort of scandalous. Soon it's going to be like Fight Club. It's going to be my challenge this month is to rob a coffee shop and destroy an ornamental fountain and rob a bank and bring me the
actually
process.
That's March's challenge. March's challenge.
I don't know. I think the hardest part of that entire task is going to be acquiring a delicious McDonald's.
Yeah.
I beg to differ. I think they are delicious.
Burger King rules.
You're right. Burger King is better. So we're going to set a deadline on this. We're going to make it November 30th. So yeah, through the end of November to take the National MuggleCast McDonald's Month Listener Challenge. And
you get extra points if you're wearing your MuggleCast t-shirt in the picture.
Yes, in the picture.
Or if you put it on Ronald McDonald.
Don't ask us how you're playing for points.
Or the Burger Goblin, where he says, you must be this tall to write this.
Yeah.
Just put an extra large t-shirt.
Jamie, can you please enlighten us with a British joke today? I like it when you come up. I like when you come up with original jokes, like the kettle one.
I did actually come up with one, Andrew, while we were recording today, okay? So these people, okay, are on this ship, okay? And they're all inside the sort of main controlling bit, where all the controls are. And there's one cat sitting on the instrumentation panel, okay? Yeah? Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there. He's always sitting there that whenever they walk in, he's always there. And one day they walk in to find he isn't sitting on the instrumentation panel. So the captain turns to the first mate and says, hey, have you seen the cat? And he says, no, I haven't. He must have fell off the radar. come on.
That was pun-believable.
Good.
Yeah.
I have an announcement.
That was good. You do? What, Eric? What's your announcement?
Well, this is what? Today's the 12th of November? Okay. This day, 4 years ago. Here it is.
I'm going to cry.
I have been at MuggleNet 4 years today.
Aww. Very, very
round of applause for Mr. Eric Skull, ladies and gentlemen.
And 4 years ago today, I took up the caption contest on this 4 year anniversary of the caption contest being taken over by me. I've started it up again, so that's it. Just go to MuggleNet.com /CC, or you can look in the left margin panel under fun, because it is fun, and caption contest. So, there you go.
Well, cool. Also, I have an announcement.
We're not even done yet.
During November, I don't remember the exact day, but it's when I joined MuggleNet, so it's been 3 years for me.
Aww.
I can't believe it.
Like, that isn't enough. Today is the 1 year anniversary when we did our first live podcast in New York City for the Goblet of Fire premiere.
And I got Emerson to buy me a hat last year.
I know, because you were like, it's my 3 year anniversary. Buy me a hat. We're going to wrap things up today with a chicken soup, the segment everyone loves to hate, from Pike 28 of Denver, Colorado. And it's another election themed chicken soup. Yesterday, I had the joy of waiting in line for 3 hours to cast a vote in the Colorado election. Luckily, I knew what was ahead of me, and I ran home to pick up my iPod and Book 5 to pass the time. Listening to old MuggleCast episodes kept me sane, standing in line, and kept my mind off my stomach growling for 3 hours. Plus, I was able to avoid talking
to the
disgruntled man in front of me the whole time. Good point, Ben. Good point. I don't know. But thanks, Pike. We're glad MuggleCast can help you relieve those election lines. Jamie, before we wrap up the show, we got this email this week, and I thought you might want to address it because, I don't know, maybe she's right. She's right. Katie of Glasgow, Scotland, she writes, I've tried in vain to ignore this issue, but I'm afraid that it just exasperates me so much that it's forced me into sending an irate email. I'm writing concerning Jamie's frequent use of words such as trash can, kindergarten, and most annoyingly, candy. Frankly, I'm surprised he has not yet developed an American twang to his accent and does not add like into every available pause in his speech. Sorry for the stereotype. Girl, like, you're so off on that. Anyway, not only is this a betrayal of his own culture, he's insulting the intelligence of the American public by suggesting that they will not be able to understand phrases such as bin and sweets. Seeming proud to American being American is one thing, but adopting another country's idiom is another matter altogether. Whoa, snap, Jamie.
KG, I was wondering if you could act like the sky at about 6 a.m. and lighten up, please.
Allegedly.
I'm sorry. Allegedly. I'm sorry. That was a bit mean. But in fact, I have met... It isn't insulting intelligence at all, but I have met some Americans who don't know what bin is. It isn't because they're stupid. It's because they don't hear that word. I didn't know what... You know, yeah. The only reason I knew what a trash can was because it sounds like what it is. I didn't know what kindergarten was the first time I heard it. When I was in America and Micah talked about how many blocks something was away, I'd absolutely no idea what he was talking about because I hadn't heard it before. It's just we're catering for mostly American...
Blocks?
It's streets. It's a street. We're catering for a mostly American audience. So I try to Americanize it, so you know, because that's the majority of the audience. I'm sure, and I'm it takes thinking about it. It's quite hard to remember to say kindergarten and candy and stuff like that. But it certainly isn't insulting intelligence. I just do it because we tried to do it on the site as well. So I thought we should bring it over to this. And I'm not betraying my own culture.
Traitor.
So,
not a...
Katie, I wasn't trying to be mean at all. I was just saying that it really isn't the case at all. I'm just trying to cater to the biggest audience around. So, yeah, thank you for writing in.
On that happy British note, I'm Anderson.
No, you're not. Contact us. Email us at...
No?
What email? Right. mugglecast@staff.mugglelab.com or go to mugglecast.com where you can see our contact information, et cetera, et cetera. There's a feedback form. Click the link that says contact. If you want to send something via mail, send it to P.O. Box 223, Moundridge, Kansas 67107. I think next week we'll do a P.O. Box update since we haven't for a while. Andrew, what are the phone numbers?
The numbers, if you're in the United States, you can dial 1-218-20-MAGIC. If you're in the United Kingdom, you can dial 020-8144-0677. If you're in Australia, you can dial 02-8003-5668. We will get back to voicemails next week when you're submitting voicemail questions. Keep them like general questions about Harry Potter and the series, or they can be some offbeat questions, So, also, we want to encourage everyone to get involved in the MuggleCast community, such as the MySpace that we have at myspace.com/MuggleCastFans. Become our friend, because we are almost at 3,000 friends. Probably by later tonight, we'll be at 3,000 friends. That's a lot of people. And you can also join the Facebook group, MuggleCast, or vote for us. And also be sure to vote for us on Podcast Alley. Join the YouTube group for MuggleCast. Join the MuggleCast Frapper. Rate and review us on Yahoo Podcasts. It's all there. You can also go to MuggleCast.com for all the community links. But most importantly, become our MySpace friend.
Most important.
We like MySpace friends. Yep. So, on that note, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Eric Skull.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 63.
No, 64.
Oh, and it's a final
64,
note.
64, right?
64. 64, yeah, 64. And just a final note before I forget. The interview with the creators of the Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix video game will be on our show the week of the 26th, which should be episode 65.
Turkey,
so
we'll Turkey Day.
Yep, Thanksgiving show. So
turkey, turkey,
see everyone
turkey,
then.
Turkey.
See ya. Or turkey, actually turkey. Next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, meatballs are so nice. Ben,
yeah?
The other night I cooked a sort of like meatballs, beef meatballs in sort of curry powder and some garlic and lemon juice, and it was so good. And then I made a stir fry out of it. Oh my God, it was good. It was so
Your
good.
Cooked,
the recipe
Jamie.
Will be available on MuggleCast.com.
Yeah.
And the show notes.
Do you know what gets me on these cooking programs? It's so annoying when instead of saying pour it in, they sort of drizzle it in, or instead of sprinkle it in, it's take a pinch and slap it in. They just use stupid words.
Bam.
It's so annoying.
Dash.
Yeah, a dash.
Just a dash it's just to make it seem so much more exciting and elegant than it actually... Well,
yeah,
that,
it would be pretty boring if they put it in the bowl.
Not that it is,
oven.
But if they said, okay, put it in the bowl, put it in the oven.
Slam
exactly.
It in
it's
the
just,
oven.
You know, it's enthusiasm. It's theatrics.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Do
but
a
anyway,
360
no, Jamie, have you finished your...
Slam it in the oven.
Have you finished your Lucky Charms yet?
No, I haven't. I've still got like a box left or something. I have been eating them for breakfast, though.